Hey guys, and welcome back to Allegedly. It's me, Matt.
And Theo. And we got a guy coming in, bro, who was in Black Sheep. He played Chris Farley's brother in Black Sheep.
I did not know that. Is that true?
Yeah, who runs for office. He's running for like governor.
That's the movie. I mean, he was also in Animal House.
Yeah.
He played Otter in Animal House. This guy was also on The West Wing.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a legend, and I love that. You go to Black Sheep.
Oh, dude.
You know this guy's got stories.
Yeah. Oh, I can't even imagine. I hear he's one of the most unique guys in Hollywood. He's one of the nicest guys in Hollywood.
He, like, started, like, with Lucille Ball and, like, Henry Fonda in movies, like, when he was 17. So he's met everybody. And I plan on asking him, like, about everybody.
And you ever see that movie, Sometimes They Come Back, Stephen King?
I did see it a long time
Daytime
ago.
Daytime TV? Or it was a TV television movie? So.
Oh, it was? It was a TV movie?
It was so good.
Oh, yeah. And I'm guessing he was in that?
Yes.
We're talking about Tim Matheson.
We're talking about Tim Matheson,
who played recently Ronald Reagan in a bio movie on National Geographic Channel.
Did he get shot in it or not?
It was all about like the time when he got shot and stuff. So he played, and I watched the trailer for it. I mean, he got it down, man.
Yeah, yeah?
He got it down. Speaking of, side note, if you had to fuck any president of all time, who would it be?
Me?
Yeah.
That dude in the wheelchair, probably FDR.
Why? Because it's
get
less
him
work?
Get the chair, dust the legs off, give him a little run for, you know, get him out and about, you know?
I would probably pick Clinton because I think he really knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
I mean, I might go back to like, you know, like Lincoln or, you know, because they say Lincoln, like the boy. Like
oh,
the
did he?
Yeah, he went both ways.
I went to his house one time. I did. In Springfield, Illinois, Amy Schumer and I went, and we just took a tour of his house when we were there doing comedy, and they said he had a bunch of cats that he would sit up at night and just pet these cats.
I think that was code for gay boys.
I mean, back then, that could have been.
Twinks were cats back then.
He had this little gay man just growing their hair out, and he's just sitting there, just putting that big top hat on him.
You got me turned on, dude.
Oh, you're disgusting.
You got my log cabin on fire.
Oh, I'm out, dude. Chopping also, I'll be in Denver this weekend at the Denver Comedy Works South, and that's the 22nd through the 26th. So if you want to fly out, Matt, you can come watch me.
Oh. I'm getting my kid that weekend.
Are you? Oh, you're getting the kid all of a sudden,
yeah,
huh?
Taking a nice little Nicaraguan boy. I decided to take your advice, and it's that weekend. So, if it was the next weekend,
yeah,
maybe the weekend prior, but I'm sorry. No, of course. I've seen Theo live many times, and he puts on a great show.
Thanks,
man. You would be doing yourself a disservice if you didn't go out and see him at least once.
Wow. And I'll say this, too. If you are a 17 or 18-year-old male who is considering gay ventures, you know, and wants to meet a man who's going to take you out to a not even a really nice restaurant from Westwood.
At Matt Cole Weiss. That's my Twitter.
At Matt Cole Weiss. All right, let's get Tim Matheson in here, man. We're going to about get into Animal House. I mean, yeah, this guy's just had a storied career.
I wonder if he's ever met Bette Midler. I'm sure he has.
He gives a fuck.
Oh. All right, we'll get Tim Matheson in. Be right back.
Hey guys, it's Matt here, and it's time to elevate your underwear game to the next level with MeUndies. I'm going to give you two reasons to go on to MeUndies.com right now and buy yourself some new underwear. Number one, by supporting MeUndies, you're supporting us at Allegedly and allowing us to continue giving you awesome content week after week. We need and we love your support. Number two, MeUndies are just freaking awesome. They're just seriously soft, feel-good underwear delivered right to your door. MeUndies are designed in LA and made with sustainably sourced micromadal, a fabric three times softer than cotton. MeUndies softer than soft luxe undies come in an ever-changing selection of classic colors, bold shapes, and adventurous patterns so you can tailor your undies to your own personal style. And guess what? You can save time and money each month with a monthly subscription. But if you're not ready for the monthly subscription, it's okay because you're still going to save some money. That's because MeUndies is offering you 20% off your first pair. Just use our special URL, MeUndies.com/Theo, and get 20% off your first pair. So go ahead, revamp your underwear drawer. You deserve it. Once again, that's MeUndies.com/Theo, MeUndies.com/Theo. And thank you guys for all your support. Now back to the show.
Hey, it's Matt Weiss here.
I'm Theo Von.
And we have great guest who I've done my research is known as one of the nicest guys in Hollywood.
Fuck you.
Wow.
That's the voice of Tim Matheson.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Who you may know for such legendary films as Animal House, Drop Dead Fred, which is one of my favorites.
Oh my God.
Dude,
Fletch. the one that you were saying that you just like.
The Stephen King thriller.
That got you a point right there.
Black Sheep.
Just right away he's getting a point. Because
wait, but I did Drop Dead Fred.
Yeah.
So
I'm
going to
take a point away from you.
Okay,
so
fair enough.
You're in the hole. You're up one.
All right, I'm up.
Story of my life. Who is currently Killing Reagan, where you played Ronald Reagan on the, it was a TV National Geographic channel project.
Exactly. And you know what? It's Bill O'Reilly wrote it and produced it. And what's fascinating is it's sort of a suspense story view of history.
You
know? So it's about the assassination attempt on his life, follows John Hinckley, and it follows Nancy and Ronnie in the White House as they go into the White House. Because he was shot like 2 months right after he took office.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, so it was amazing. So it was a great little movie.
Such a timely thing to be made.
And someone might assassinate. So,
I mean, there's
the new president.
Police protection is at an all-time high.
Yeah, I'll bet. Sure.
Because our country's in a weird state now
But it's good for comedy, I guess, right?
Hysterical.
I mean, Trump has got to be good for comedy, right?
That's true.
I think, but I almost think it's already been overdone comedically. I'm not joking. I was talking to some great comedians the other night on the front porch, and they're like, you know what? It's almost bizarre to keep joking about it because it's already been just joked about so much. Like, it's almost, it's overkill already.
I can see that.
I can see
that
too. But then everything is kind of.
Everything is.
Yeah.
Well, it seems like an easy joke to make now, you know? And it's just like, the effort isn't as much.
Well, then the reality is funnier than any jokes you can come up with.
Right.
And
right.
He surpasses himself. So it's like, it's really hard to be too far out.
Yeah.
You know what I just saw a trailer for? It's a movie called The Last Laugh.
Mm-hmm.
It's a documentary. Have you seen the trailer for this? It's about the ability to use jokes and humor to talk about the Holocaust.
Really?
And it's got like Mel Brooks in it and stuff.
Oh, Jesus, sounds great.
It was fascinating, and it's got some survivors who actually make jokes about it, and you're like, in the movie, they're making jokes about it, and you're like, how am I supposed to feel about this? Is it uncomfortable or not? But yeah, it's The Last Laugh. Check it out. It's
good. Well, that sounds awesome.
We'll check that
That's
one
a
out.
Point. There's a point right
okay,
there.
Really?
There you go.
Come on, that's a reference.
Holocausting?
You always get a point for the Holocaust.
That's a good
Come
point.
Come on, what
it's
can
LA.
I say?
It's
there you
LA.
Go.
If you don't get a point for that, what can you get a point for?
Do you remember voting when he ran?
Oh, yeah. When I was just old enough I voted the first time, I think, in the early 70s. And I did not vote. I mean, he was not my candidate.
I was
not a conservative kind of guy at that point. But I did vote once for him, the second term as president, because he was a formidable guy. I mean, he got the job done. I didn't ascribe to his politics, but he just got the job done.
Yeah.
And he was a good guy.
Interesting
like good
how
guy.
Life comes full circle, and then you're playing him. That's bizarre.
Yeah.
Yeah. At the time, though, when you were going, like,
you
know, with
imagine?
Your nature and your, you know, like, I don't know how much of an activist you were or not at the time, when you didn't vote for him, would you, if somebody's like, you could play him, would you still have gone and played him? Because
No. And some people would say that to me as I got older. They would just say, you know, you kind of look like Reagan. I just, it was like, screw you. And I was like, get the hell. What an insult. You know, but the thing I learned out of doing the show was that there's the politics and the man. You can't act the politics in.
Right.
And, you know, it used to be in politics, it was like the NBA. We'll play against each other in a game. You're in the Clippers, I'm in the Lakers. But we'll go out for drinks later. We'll go out and, you know, party and have dinner or something.
Right.
And politics used to do that. They don't do it anymore. They don't even talk to each other.
Wow.
You know.
This is going to be a weird / awkward question that you certainly don't have to answer. But in your research with Reagan, there is a big Hollywood rumor about Nancy that has gone on through the years.
Yeah, yeah. Let's hear it.
She's kind of known as the blowjob queen.
Really sweet Nancy?
Oh yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you came out, that's...
There was from that Kitty
Is
Kelly...
Is that in the show?
No. That's a point. There you get a point. Okay.
No, that's blowing Reagan, not killing Reagan.
That's a point.
There you go. Thank
good.
You.
That's good.
That's fair.
But you know, it's like, it was in the Kitty Kelly book, which was a sort of a tell-all kind of thing. That was... She was easy. She was supposedly, and supposedly on the night that that Reagan and she went on their first date, the guy that, I forget, a director called him up and said, just go out with her. Just trust me. Go out with her.
Right.
You know, just go to dinner with her.
Yeah.
And that was the story, and he fell in love with her, you know.
Mm-hmm. Look,
so it must have been good.
Yeah. No, when I was young, I fell in love with a girl who had been given blowjobs around the area, allegedly. And then it was weird.
Couldn't help but fall in love.
And then it was weird, because I was like kind of going out with this girl who...
Well, you were 12, so I mean, yeah, it's like, what can I say?
She was like the first girl to give a blowjob. She wasn't really giving them out around the area. She was just the first girl to give one.
Right.
And so at that, you know, when you're young, it's like, oh.
That's all you see.
She's blowing everybody, you know.
Now, so that's like... Like there was I think Doug Kenny wrote a National Lampoon article, My First Blowjob, which was...
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah, that was, I think, one of the famous, he was one of the writers of Animal House, Caddyshack. Yeah. And so there's a little trivia.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Man, you've had quite a career, man.
Dude.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't
they
even
can't
know.
Get rid of me. You know, it's...
Like yours, mine, and ours, like with Lucille Ball, like with Lucille fucking Ball.
Yeah, Hank Fonda and Lucille Ball, Van Johnson. I mean,
how old were you?
Well, I was 18.
Wow.
So, no. 17, I think. 17, turned 18. Because here's the deal. You know, I was lucky enough to start as a kid, 11 years old, 12 years old. And I was exposed to the talents that came out of vaudeville. Like, I worked, my first movie was Debbie Reynolds and Dick Van Dyke. And
oh, wow. Then, also,
yeah,
timely.
He celebrated his 90th birthday here about 2 months ago.
That's Dick Van
right.
Dyke.
Yeah,
he did.
And, you know,
and Miss Reynolds just passed.
I know. And sadly, but one of the great ladies, and the people like in Lucy and Henry, and I worked with Jackie Gleason, Bob Hope. The thing about those people is that they came out of vaudeville, they were funny, and they worked really hard. They, you know, they had just tremendous skill. I mean, it's much like yourselves, like doing stand-up. It's that same kind of discipline that you just grind it out night after night
right.
after night.
I want to know, Lucy, like, well, she also had a reputation of being tough to work with.
She was tough.
Like? Yeah?
Lucy was tough. She was very professional, almost impatient, and, you know, she demanded that everybody, I don't care if you were 5 or 75,
wow.
You would know your lines, you'd speak up, you had to play it. She, you know, if there was an actor on the stage, and she even did this to me one time, I can't hear him, you know, and she would just, you know, humiliate you in front of everybody.
Wow.
You know? But there was a certain level of it and of professionalism, but then invited me into her trailer and talked to me, said, how are you doing? Are you okay?
Yeah.
You like, you know, you're doing good. This is what it takes to be a star. You know, you have to act like a star to be treated like a star. I mean, she imparted advice and provided you like a sort of as a mentor and a role model. But, and I must say, I learned a lot from her.
Wow.
Did you think it was authentic?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. She, I'll never forget, there was a scene in the kitchen, you know, and there was like, you know, there's 18 kids or 17 kids in this story of two families with large families getting married. Henry's got one family and she's the other. And she's cooking breakfast with a bunch of the kids in the kitchen. We're rehearsing it first thing in the morning. Prop guys crouch down underneath a toaster to pop up toast on a certain line. And in the middle of this, you know, in just lightning fast rehearsal, she turned to everybody and she goes, "Always rehearse with your props." And it was like, okay, Lucy. It was like, yeah.
Wow.
And you can see why. Because it's not, because, you know, that professionalism, that kind of thing, you bring it.
Do you think times have changed and it's not like that anymore?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think. I mean, people, and I speak as a director, you know, I mean,
yeah.
There's mostly good actors, and but nothing's tougher than comedy.
Yeah.
Do you feel like the talent isn't there? Because, I mean, you're in Jumanji coming up, right? You have a role in the new Jumanji because they have a remake.
Yes.
And
that's a point. Look at that. Wait, just segued
I have
right,
it right there.
I know, he segued right into that.
Thing. I even have next to it 6 balloons. Do you have 6 balloons on your
No, I don't know what 6 balloons. Is that about drug muling?
That's right. It is. It is a drug.
But that was a guess, so that's not a point.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I had no idea.
But it's a project with Dave Franco that he
But that
did
was
as well.
Also a good fake. So he knew. We talked about 6 balloons at length before the show. So that's acting.
Dude, okay, I got 2 balloons enough in me right now. We're at the comedy store.
You're
bro.
A third of the way there, pal.
But like the, you know, The Rock is in it, Jack Black, Kevin Hart.
Yeah.
Now, do you feel like the like, I mean, it's just really the same question. Is the level of comedy different now? Are actors allowed to do as much? Is it more in the cameras and not in the talent? And not any shot to any of those talents.
I think the talent's the talent. And there's tremendous comedy talent, obviously, you know, today. And, you know, from Kathy Griffin, which is old school kind of stuff, to, you know, to you guys and Kevin Hart. And so it's, I find that level of talent is always the same, because comedy's very precise thing.
Yeah. Well, do you think that celebrity has trumped like
talent
yeah. in a way?
That's
like
a good question.
Because like being on a, you know, on Animal House, you know, on a set like that, and then being on a set today, like, is the vibe different? Is the
That's
trust that the camera yeah. that the director has, like, just by turning on the camera and knowing, like, oh, you know,
there's
like, Belushi's going to be great.
There's
no matter
the Judd
what.
Apatow school, but see, I think Judd, he has it. He makes sure it's on the page first. And I think that I don't think things have changed.
Well, let me ask you, as someone who kind of grew up ish in the business a little bit, you know, he was on Leave It to Beaver.
I know that.
Oh, you know that.
Yeah, and I'll tell you real quick, I worked with Jerry Mathers at a poker tournament one time.
I'm setting you up, buddy. I'm setting you up for this story, pal.
And point for a setup.
And this is one of my favorite stories.
Huge fan, because my name's Theodore, and he was Theodore in the show, right? So I was like, hey, you know, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, where do you live? And I was like, Santa Monica. And he goes, I used to go get some pussy in Santa Monica. And that was pretty much our entire conversation.
Wow.
And it blew my mind. Oh. It was the last thing I expected him to say, man.
I love that. I could just picture that.
Oh, jeez. I'm like, was Eddie Haskell setting you up with that?
So my question is, aside from that setup, how did you avoid, I don't know if they had the pitfalls that young stars kind of you see do now?
Yeah.
Like.
Oh, sure.
Like, did they look back
Maryland.
In that day?
I mean, come on.
Yeah, you're right. Absolutely.
You know. Look at,
so how did you avoid, as a young person in the business, falling into that trap?
Well, here's the thing that saved me. First, you have to be really successful. And I wasn't. I was like just a working actor. I was like, you know, as I said, I was the third kid through the door with, you know, golly, Beef, you know, we got to get to school. You know, I mean, it was that was the kind of part I had.
Right.
You
right.
know, or the bad kid that didn't like one of my three sons, because I, you know, I wanted a dog like that. I wanted to live in a house like that. So I would do those roles, a guest role, or you know, I was one line, two lines. Right. So I don't think that I had that problem that, you know, to get used to being super successful and then just have it all gone and
right.
taken away, or just to keep going. I mean, look like Justin Bieber or something today, yeah. you know.
Has it been, were there times where you regret it? Like, were there times where you look at friends or, you know, coworkers and you're like, gosh, that guy's a star. But then as the playing field continued to go, you're like, wow, I'm still working and that person isn't working anymore, and found more gratitude in your own path?
Listen, you know what? Yeah, every day you go, I wish I was that. I wish I could have been, oh, my gosh, if I'd gotten
especially
that, I could have, should have, would have. You know, but I think that you play the cards you're dealt. You do the best you can do with what you got, and there's a purpose and a reason for everything, you know. And I've had a wonderful life and career, and been blessed with a good family, and still performing and still having a good time doing it, you know. I mean, it's like, because it's like my family, you know. I mean, I came from a broken home and a difficult, what seemed like a difficult, you know, mother and father's situation. So I used to go hide in the movies and watch it. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, well, if I get into that, everything will be fine.
Right.
Right.
So, but the funny part is, nobody's ever molested me or made any sexual advances
Dang.
Towards me in the business.
Right.
In church. Yeah. The one fucking time I went to church when I was in the sixth grade, this guy tried to molest me, and it was like, Jesus. So I left church, never gone back. And it's like, but show business.
So it never happened in show business. Did you ever take offense to that?
Dang.
That's a point.
And it's not too late. It's not too late, Tim.
Yeah.
Get your hand off my knee. Okay. But...
But go, so in your path, so the Animal House explodes, you know, blow
yeah, yeah.
up.
My first comedy.
What did you learn from Belushi and what happened to him through that process?
Well, you know, I got, John was so gracious and generous to me. You know, there was always the New York, LA thing. You know, New York was hipper, happening, better actors. You guys are sellouts and pretty boys out in LA, and you don't know what you're doing. And we're trained in the skills of acting and comedy, but So he, but he didn't pull any of that on that rank on me. Right. I was an LA guy, you know, my first comedy, and he could not have been more supportive, generous, and gracious to me. Mm. And I got to be very friendly with him, and I used to pick him up on Sunday night. Me and Bruce McGill, who played D-Day, would pick him up at the airport and bring him home from Saturday Night Live.
Right.
To his house with his wife Judy in Oregon, and he'd work with us on Animal House Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Then he'd jump on a plane and go back to New York and do that. But the thing about John was he was a TV star, then a movie star, all at once, and then the Blues Brothers hit. Mm-hmm. So it was that combo of music, and I think all the drugs came out of music. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, all those bands would come through. So you'd have the Rolling Stones on Saturday Night Live. So Keith Richards and
yeah.
And these people, you know, they dabbled in heroin or whatever the fuck they did. And I think that's where it bled in, you know, too. And all of a sudden it was cool to do cocaine. And it took John and it took Doug Kenny, and you know, who wrote Animal House, and one of the writers. And so, yeah, it was a cautionary thing.
What do you remember going through your head? Did you feel, like, see it going down a bad path?
Oh, God, yeah. Oh,
and
yeah.
Did you feel helpless, or did you?
Well, you did. Well, yeah, I mean, because I did another movie with John. I did 1941, the Spielberg movie. And I get a point for that one.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. My gosh.
Okay, it's obscure. Come on.
Spielberg adjacent is 10 points.
Look, Tim knows his own life. You get a point, Tim.
These days? He takes a point away.
These days, I respect that. In L.A., I respect that.
Fair enough.
But, yeah, you know, it was getting out of control during that time, and then, you know...
But, like, when you're given in the... and are you talking about during 1941?
Yeah.
Okay, and so are you... And I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I'll forget my question, honestly, because I'm not the brightest dude. Are you able to say anything? Do you get nervous, or it's just the lifestyle, and that's what's going on, and it's not your place, really?
You can't really say much. I mean, you know, I was one of his straighter friends.
Right.
Like, so when he came out here... I would go visit with him, and I didn't, you know, I dabbled in drugs, but I was not like, you know, like a heavy user. So,
right.
So when I'd go see John, I was like the straight friend who didn't have anything, you know. And so it was like when he hung out with me, it was not a drug thing.
Yeah.
And then more and more I didn't see him, you know. So it was like he just goes, well, if I'm not going to hang with him because he's, you know, it's not, right. It's not what's going to happen. I'm not partying. So. And it was sad, and you know, it was like that was the issue for his wife Judy: is what do? You leave him, threaten to leave him if he doesn't stop, or do you stay with him and try and get him healthy?
Right.
And you know, there's just no helping some
people. Well,
now go on.
I was just going to say two questions that I was curious about: do you go to the Chateau Marmont?
I haven't been to the Chateau in a while. I've been there. Yeah, sure.
Because that's where he passed away. Yeah, I wonder what that is like to be there, because I know they have a lot of Hollywood events there and stuff, so like having to be there.
Yeah, you know, it's just, I'm sure it's a little creepy. I mean, yeah. I was there at a party not too long ago, and it's weird, you know. I mean, but not as weird as a friend of mine, an old friend of mine, Michael Ritchie, who directed a lot of the Golden Child and Eddie Murphy movie.
Wow.
You know, he...
2 points.
Thank you.
I love that movie. The Golden Child?
Yeah. Isn't that what it's called if you're a gay guy who hasn't...
No, it's a gold star.
Gold star
if you're
gay.
A gay guy who hasn't slept with a woman.
Oh, yeah.
Star. Okay,
sorry.
Good.
That's
very
term,
different
gold
than
star.
Gold Child.
I thought it was a Golden Child. Silver Whisper. But he also did... Silver Whisper, but it upgraded.
Okay.
No, right.
These are obscure references. But so Michael did, you know, and he did Smile and Downhill Racer with Redford and The Candidate. He was a great director. And he bought the Marilyn Monroe house over in Brentwood that she died in.
Wow.
And they owned it, and they cleaned it up, and they were going to rent it out. And I was coming in town to shoot the Brady Bunch movie.
Which I love.
Hello.
Which is one of my...
Did you?
I think those movies are so underrated because they're so
stupid.
Like, they're stupid, but there's
great.
Something subversive about them is just genius.
Gary Cole was so good. He was so
good. You were great. It's
Thank
great
you.
Movies.
I was at Marilyn Monroe's gravesite yesterday.
Over in Westwood.
Yeah. Yesterday evening.
Oh my
that's where
God.
I live. I had two friends pop by.
Crazy.
I was like, I'm gonna take you guys over there.
Merv's over there.
Mathau, Merv, Dangerfield.
Rodney Dangerfield,
Carol
O'Connor, Fawcett,
Errol Flynn.
Wow. The girl from Poltergeist. Truman Capote's there.
Mel Torme.
Yeah.
Oh, my
Don
God.
Don Knotts.
Cheapest date in town. Take your friend to see the
and,
dead.
And.
It's true, though.
This is the blowjob girl, I think. This is right.
You guess.
Nancy Reagan's there?
No. Your girlfriend that you've been with since you were 12, correct?
Oh, no. That girl's
now, is
gone.
It not true that on Merv's headstone it says, he will not be right back.
Yes. It says, it's cute. Right? That's what it says. That's
Jack
cool.
Lemmon's is the best. It says Jack Lemmon in, and then that's
oh,
all it is.
Oh, no.
And then it's
oh,
just the plot.
That's a point.
That's, I didn't
it's
realize
a great
that.
One. He's there, too. So what happened to Marilyn's
so,
house?
So Marilyn's house. So I stayed in this house for like, you know, 2-3 weeks. They were gracious enough to let me stay there. And it was just weird at night, you know. I mean, and plus they left the books of like, you know, the rumors about her and Bobby and Jack yeah. and, you know, Kennedy and did they kill her and da, right. da, 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 you know. So it was just creepy. Nothing happened.
No
but
ghosts
was,
or anything
no
like
ghosts,
that.
But it was just bizarre to yeah. be there. And it's not, it's not a big opulent house.
Right.
It's a normal sized house, you know. It's a little tiny house. Yeah. And it was just... You empathize, but there you're talking about, you know, were they like this, you know, is it crazier now or, you know, and nah, it was, I think performers are needy people at times, you know, we're all crazy. And I think some are more crazy and fall prey to substance than yeah. others, you know. And,
have you seen people since Belushi and whatnot that have gone down a path that you've been more wanting to see, like, get involved.
Farley.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, I was going to say, you moved on. After one of your co-stars, you led him to heaven. You kind of moved on to the next
one. I killed funny fat guys. And Sam Kennison. I did a series with Sam called The Secret Life of Charlie Hoover, Secret World of Charlie Hoover. It was a Fox show. But, you know, he was... If we were shooting on a Friday night and the band Poison showed up, we said, ooh, it's going to be a long night. We're going to be here a while, guys. This is going to take...
That's crazy.
So, but I mean, yeah. I mean, and Farley... When I worked with Farley on Black Sheep.
One of the best movies ever, Al Donnelly.
Thank you. There's a point. That's a reference.
I don't know it.
But it's so what Chris was sober during that time,
right?
You know, and I just was talking to Tom Arnold. I dropped an in.
Wow.
You know, and Tom and Chris were very close.
Well, Tom's
got
skinny now, right?
He's skinny now.
So he's okay. He's yeah. safe around you now.
He's sober now.
He's sober. Yeah. And he got Chris sober.
Right.
So he was his sponsor, I think, in AA. You know, I think Chris was sober for 3 years just before he died. And
he had a relapse?
Yeah, he had a relapse.
Oh,
you know, and then
three years is a long time.
It's a long time. But you know, if you're an addict, it's just one day. And any day you could just say, well, this could be the day.
My last question on this, what do you think Belushi would be like if he was alive now?
Oh, God. You know, he was the most... He had such a big heart, and he was such a talented guy that I just think... You know,
would he still be in the biz? Would he?
Oh yeah, you know. I mean, but it's like Robin. You know, I mean, he was that skilled and that talented, and he had such a capacity to do things and be an entertainer. But he burned so bright, yeah. you know, and so hot, and you know, I mean, it's like so you never know. I mean, it was like such a shock when Robin went. You know,
yeah.
and it was like God. Yeah. You know, the guy could do anything, had everything, and that wasn't enough.
Yeah.
What? Who's next? Since you were so. We gotta know.
Stay away from Betty White.
Tim, we gotta
don't
know.
Don't touch Betty
you
White.
You just tweeted at her. You just tweeted at her the other day, didn't you?
Yeah. Oh, really?
I saw
happy
that for
birthday.
Her
birthday.
It was very nice.
Yeah, she turned 95. Stay away.
Do you get treated by some people like a star and then some people like not a star? You must have that kind of and I'm not judging or anything, but I could just see
he just wrapped me. He just dumped on me, right?
Is that where some people are like
you can take away points.
And some people are like,
well, here's the best thing that happens, and it really puts everything in perspective. You know, you go, somebody goes, oh my God, oh my God, I loved you. I loved you in Burn Notice, I loved you in whatever, you know, and he goes, well, thank you. And he said, No, I'm just gonna, and they go, Betty, look who this is. Don't you know who this is? And she goes, no. And he goes, no, you know, he was the guy in the thing. And she goes, no, I got no idea. You know, so it's thank you very much.
So it's an up and a down. It's humbling. It evens out.
It's like, well, don't do that to an actor. They'll never know the fuck you are. Jesus.
I want to ask, going back to Reagan, I was just reading and looking at the pictures that Hinckley is out.
Yeah. Yeah,
I didn't even know that personally. Did you know that?
The guy I didn't know it all.
I mean, he got out, I think, at the end of last year, or maybe like summer last year.
Did he come on set?
We had one moment. That's a point. We had one moment where we were doing the premiere of the movie in Washington, D.C.
next and tell him you were here.
That's right. Stop it. Should have had him here.
What do you mean, stop hey, it?
I don't want to be anywhere near him.
What do you mean?
He's on his meds. He's here.
Yeah. If he was here today, would you have still sat in? Yes.
No. No. I mean, wow. But it's like, there was a moment where I thought at the premiere, I thought, does anybody know where he is? I mean, it's just, I'm just an actor who played him. I mean, yeah. But the guy's a lunatic.
Should be tabs on this.
Really? Come on.
Wow.
Yeah, if he gets out and he's like, who's he going to look for?
I can't shoot Reagan anymore. I can shoot that guy who played him.
It only takes one advertisement, one lucky billboard.
Here he is again.
Yeah, he's out. I saw an article where they had pictures of him shopping at Target or whatnot.
Really?
And I was just like, it's so bizarre. It's a commercial. Yeah, right. That he's out. And poor Jodie Foster, man. She's probably keep her away because, you know, that was kind of the inspiration. So, yeah, my question was, has there been any outreach or anything on his side?
No.
Because of the, okay, good.
No, but he'd been out like a lot. You know, he'd get weekends
out. Yeah.
Were you getting alerts? Like, do you get text notifications whenever Hinckley is like, okay.
There's an app for that.
Let's roll up the windows.
That's it.
The Hinckley app. But it's interesting that we keep hearing, like, presidents. You obviously play Reagan. Reagan. That was a combination of Lincoln and Reagan. You were VP on West Wing.
Yeah, yeah.
And what is it with you and the...
And I played Jack Kennedy. I did a movie with Joanne Whalley. Called Jackie Onassis Kennedy, and where I played Jack Kennedy, and that was so. I mean, you know, and it's wonderful. I just love playing those parts, and it's challenging, and it's sort of like the American version of like the Shakespearean histories. You know, the English.
Yeah.
You know, Henry IV.
Well,
one,
that's why
two.
People are fascinated. I mean, even like the movie Jackie came out this year, which. People are still fascinated with that sort of stuff.
Yeah. No, I think it's because it's our sort of royal family and we get to look back. You look inside the White House and see what goes on and, you know.
You can't play Obama, though. I don't think that's
going to
work.
No, I can't. No, that would be wrong.
Yeah. But in a few years, it could be pretty progressive for you to play it.
Yeah,
it
okay.
Could be.
Yeah. Could be, yeah. Well, yeah. Okay. So one thing people probably don't know about you is, you have such a career on camera, which you continue to do, but you also direct.
Yeah.
A ton. And you direct a lot of like these serial like procedural shows.
Yeah.
You've done White Collar, Cold Case, Without a Trace, Suits, things like that.
Yeah.
I would never have expected that because you are so well known for your, you know, comedy, Animal House, and National Lampoon stuff.
Right, right. Well, I had three kids that had to get through college, you know. So when you're not acting, you better fill out the schedule with stuff. And I love the adult sort of part of being, you know, as an actor, you're like sit over there, here's a sandwich, then wear these clothes, say these lines, and we'll get to you in just 1 minute, you know. And it's like, okay, you can go home now, you know. And everybody else has to work for another 6 hours.
Yeah.
So it's a different role, and as a director, you are responsible for literally everything that happens, you know, on the set, and choose the color of the tablecloth and the car, and you know, and direct the actors. And so I sought out that kind of control because actors all think they can direct better than the directors they're working with, which is not true. But
I can't even act, and I think I can direct. How great is that?
That's a point.
Oh, wait, yeah, that's
the DGA motto. I
thought I could direct. I actually went and directed movies, and then found out I can't. So
you went to NYU, though.
I did. Yeah. I went to NYU. I directed a movie for the Weinstein Company. I directed a Lifetime TV movie. I've done a lot of stuff, and then it took me to figure out that I can't direct.
Yeah.
Well, maybe.
Maybe you can.
Maybe
you got a reboot.
Yeah. Come on.
Did you ever audition to be on Little House on the Prairie? I got to ask that because I'm assuming you probably.
I knew Michael Landon because I was on Bonanza. Really?
Oh, don't say that.
I was on Bonanza.
That is his.
I love Michael Landon, dude.
Oh, no, and.
You love him?
Oh, yeah. He was great. Yeah. I mean, he was a great guy. And the smartest. He ran the show. The last year Bonanza was on is when I was in it. And but I got in trouble with Michael because I was a smart ass kid, you know, and I was studying acting at the time, so I was just coming up, and
Did you think you were cool?
I thought I was really cool, and I thought I was too hip for the room, and so I opened my mouth to the press, not having done a lot of press, to TV Guide, I said, you know, shows like Bonanza are like old hat. It's like their time has gone, and it's time for a new Western. Well, it was printed in the in an article about Bonanza. And Michael called me and he said, "What are you doing? What are you, crazy?" And it took me a long time for him to forgive me for that, you know, because he just knew, you know, he'd been in.
Right, he knew what was going on.
And he ran the show, he wrote him, he directed him, he starred in him, and he was multi-talented. And then he went on and did Little House right after that, and then I remember going over and visiting him on Little House, and I think he'd forgiven me.
Wow.
But he could hold a grudge, but he was a great, talented guy.
Here's an interesting connection. The movie For Lifetime that I directed stars this girl, Meghan Markle, who
she's
was
dating
also on Suits.
Right.
Which you directed Suits.
She's dating with Prince Harry. Right?
Yeah. Did you work with her?
Yeah, sure.
Did you ever picture? Because I know I can't even fathom thinking about working back with her. And go, oh wait, she could be the queen one day or whatever. Like, I never passed my mind.
Yeah, did she seem kind of royal a little? Did she have like kind of
a
British lisp?
I love her.
Did she have a British lisp?
I don't even know what that is.
It's like a accent.
Oh.
Tim?
That's a reach. No, she didn't know. It was
Tim? Don't leave me hanging.
Okay. I think it's
good.
Can you believe that she's dating Prince Harry?
It's crazy. But she, you know, she was a lovely actress.
I love her.
Yeah.
I think she's gorgeous.
Did you ever party with Kiefer Sutherland?
No, I hear it's wild, right?
I know. That's what we hear.
We hear a lot of stories on the Kiefer Sutherland stories on this podcast.
Everybody who comes through, it's just like, Kiefer.
It's true. Everyone's got a Kiefer story. Yeah,
everybody does.
We got to make it happen.
Now I feel bad. You know, it's like, Jesus.
No, but it seems like you've had a path that's
Donald
kept...
Sutherland, I did work with. I just got to get this. Really? He farts in every scene.
Oh.
Every scene I know.
On purpose?
Well, I mean, yeah. And it would be like he'd be in the middle of a scene. There's Donald. He's operating on all these different levels. But Donald would just look at me and he'd smile and just go like, you know, and you'd go, oh, you bastard, you know. It was like, so that you're playing a scene and there's the smell, and it's like Donald, he was a wonderful man.
It's always a time to kill, it sounds like.
but
was that a point or not?
That's a point.
Yeah, we have to ask for a
there
point.
Dude, I had a Donald song with a little fart joke.
I thought that was great.
Oh, thank
that
you, brother. I appreciate you.
Who has been like the worst person that you've had to work with?
Well, I don't know about worst, but let's say the worst experiences I've ever had have been on stage.
Really?
Theater. Well, because you're doing the same thing every night, and if you're not happy with the cast, you know, it's not fun. And I was doing a play in New York, Sam Shepard play, True West, and Dennis and Randy Quaid were doing the play right before I was doing the play, I went into the play with an actor. We probably should remain nameless. And he and I didn't get along. And it was one of those.
And it's like a two-person show.
It's a two-person show, and they fight tooth and nail throughout the whole play. And my character loses. Well, there's props you throw. There's props you don't throw. There's things. And every night I was getting beat up, and I would just say, you know, I'd say to the actor, I said, "Listen, man," I said, "you know, I said, I'm getting killed out here." You know, you're saying, "Oh man, I was with the moment, man, and I didn't think. Oh, I'm sorry." I'm sitting, you know, I said, "Well, just don't do it next time. The next night I was saying worse would happen or some shit would happen. One night I just fucking went after him on stage and we got into a fight on stage just rolling around and my character still has to lose, you know? So it's like, this is no good.
Wow.
So I literally quit the play.
Wow.
I quit the play and then they wouldn't let me quit and they fired him. And it was a nightmare. So anyhow. But
I was going to, I mean, you worked with Chevy who's known as a...
Well, Chevy was on his best behavior when I worked with him. Although I must say... Chevy substituted for Merv Griffin on the Merv show one night. Then I went and he invited me to come on the show. Lorraine Newman was on, and
I could listen to his stories all day. Like, honestly,
and, relax, dude.
I'm not trying to get points. This
you
is
are
just
trying
true.
To.
That's 2 points.
Yes. No, I've worked with him before. It's all he says this to everybody. It's written on his hand.
That's not true.
It's written on his hand, Tim.
That's not true.
I could listen to her all day. Right?
No, I do want to hear that.
So Chevy, I get out there and I run out and. Just, I was kidding around with Chevy, and I jumped up and jumped into his arms, you know, just like a little kid. And
did he have nice arms or not?
Well, he caught me. He didn't drop me.
Fair enough.
And then he was, you know, he seemed very nervous, and I think he was kind of high, you know.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, Tim, I said, I know you so well. Not really, you know. He said, but I got these questions and cards here, and it's confusing. I want to talk to you with these cards. And I said, Chevy, give me the cards. And I took the cards and I tore them up and threw them up into the air.
Okay.
And he looked at me like, what have you done? It's like, oh my, he had no idea who I was or what was going on or anything. And went downhill from there.
Wow.
And all of a sudden I realized after we were out there and it was like not a normal talk show. It wasn't moving quickly and stuff. Yeah. And I realized that, oh my God, they're going to edit this. They're shooting everything and they're going to cut this thing down.
Wow.
You know, so it was a disaster.
Wow.
It was a disaster.
I like that you keep crossing these people. And is there anyone who likes you in Hollywood?
No,
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, it's weird kind of. I think we're really coming full circle here.
This leads me to my question.
Tim Matheson's the problem.
I'm going to burn you guys before I'm out of here.
A friend of mine who knows you told me a story to ask you about.
Okay.
You did a TV movie with Jane Seymour.
Yeah.
And you...
Obsessed with a Married Woman, yeah.
And she helped you get excited under the sheets.
That sounds good to me.
Not like your girlfriend. Like, no. That girl, no.
Right? Jane She's a Seymour. Method actress.
Jane Seymour was just... She was... I adored her. I mean, you know, she was so beautiful. And you could see her at 5 o'clock in the morning without any makeup. And it was like, why even? She's so pretty. I said, why even bother going to makeup? You don't need it. It's
right.
Just. But in one scene, you know, we had a lot of sex in the movie and stuff. And there was one scene where we're supposed to be in bed under the covers and naked. And
doing sex or not?
We were sort of getting into it, I think. And it was like one of those scenes.
Escalating.
And so I get in. I have like a pair of boxer jeans or some swim trunks or something. On and I get in and I, you know, she's married and
oh yeah,
and I, you know, we don't know each other that well at the beginning of the movie, and I when I get in there and all of a sudden she just reaches down and just pulls her bra off and tosses it across the room,
and somebody caught it in their mouth.
that's a point.
Okay.
And it was just like, wow, okay. It got me turned. I got my attention. You know, it got me hot, and it was like, the hotter I get towards her, the better she looks.
Mm.
And it just was better for the scene.
Right.
And it was just, I thought, what a pro.
Yeah.
Taking one for the team.
Was, yeah, you know. and she had lovely breasts, too.
Yeah, so. I believe. I'm not even interested in breasts, and I like her breasts.
Okay.
Not
even interested in breasts. That's a point.
Yeah, oh, that's not a point.
What the hell? I mean, no, a point off. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, you're moonlighting, dude. Your moonlighting is a straight guy, bro.
That's a very timely reference.
Let me see.
Well, I want to ask, now you're working on, you did Taken.
Mm-hmm.
You're directing Taken, the show, the Liam Neeson movie
now.
That is now into a show.
Yep.
Which is his character younger.
Jennifer Beals is in it.
Jennifer
well.
Beals.
Yeah,
oh.
Yeah, from Flashdance.
I love
is
her.
Liam there?
No, Liam's not in it. There's an English actor who plays Liam at a younger age. Mm-hmm.
And so you directed that.
Yeah, yeah.
Awesome. And then you have Jumanji.
Yes.
Which...
I didn't direct, but I acted in.
You acted in, starring The Rock, who is the biggest star in the world, period.
He is, isn't he? He
is.
Everything.
What's it like doing a movie with the biggest star in the world right now?
Well...
And Kevin Hart's pretty
and
freaking
Kevin
huge,
Kevin
too.
Hart's star,
Jack Black.
The littlest star in the world.
The littlest star. And who do you play? Because we all know the movie.
There's two parts of the movie, and they switched it up from when Robin Williams did it. Because in Robin's thing, they opened up the game, and the game came into our life.
Right.
This is about some kids in high school that are awkward, geeky. There's this football star, and it's just your complement of like four or five kids from school who go into a video game. And they're morphed and transformed into the avatars played by The Rock, Kevin Hart.
Oh.
And it's usually they're the opposite because the guy who gets The Rock is the geeky little weird kid.
Oh, that's interesting.
And the guy who's, you know, Jack Black is a girl, I think. You know, so they switch and they while they're in the game, they learn about themselves and they learn about their true selves. And then so when they come out at the end, they are better people for it.
Right.
And they survive the game. And I play... the father of a son who has gone into the game and stayed in there for 30 years.
Oh.
Ruined my life.
Oh, my
and then
God.
At the
Did
end
you miss
of the
him?
Movie... And,
Did you miss him? It's called acting.
And at the end of the movie, he actually comes... They get him back out, and my life has been salvaged, and everything's worked
out. Wow. Yeah. Okay.
So do people ever think that you're Kevin Bacon?
No. No.
Really?
Why do I? Is there any semblance?
I think so. I thought you were a few minutes ago, dude. I'm not even joking. I kind of I didn't
That's
zone
a point.
Out, but like
That's
my,
kind of a point.
Okay. Like my head turned. Yeah, from,
you know, Kevin was not happy with me for a while. Cause
Wait, another one. What
we,
the
hell? We,
damn
we,
true, dude.
On Animal House.
Two dead, many not happy.
well, they liked me until they died.
There we go.
But you know, we didn't treat him well because he was in the Omegas and we were right. the Deltas and we were too cool. And just out of, in character, the Deltas didn't frequent with the, you know, Omegas on that show. So we, you know, we would talk to him and stuff, but we wouldn't invite him to our party.
Yeah.
And Kevin was really annoyed about that for years. I remember seeing him a few times. He goes, "Hey Tim, how you doing, man? I just did Footloose." You know, like, good for you, man.
You're like, a Delta would never do Footloose. What's the craziest fraternity function you got invited to?
That's a good question.
Well, we got it. I mean, while we were shooting, we did some research and went over to an SAE house.
Ooh.
And we went in with some girls that I'd met, and the girls said, "Oh, we're going to go to like the mixers, and you can come with us, and we'll see a bunch of different fraternities." Ignorantly not knowing. You can't go to another fraternity house. Only fraternity members can go to that, and the girls can come and visit.
Of course.
So we're in the middle of this party, and then we got thrown out, and there was a big fight afterwards, and so we got scuffed up a little bit.
Are there movies or roles that you've turned down that you look back and go, "Why did I turn that down?"
Oh, sure.
Anything you could tell us?
Well, I mean, you know, I don't like to dwell on it, but I mean, there was a lot of mostly TV stuff,
yeah.
but there were certainly parts that I wanted. I mean, I remember doing Up the Creek, which was a movie that I did, which was almost a really funny movie.
Mm.
At the same time, Police Academy was being done, and I wanted to get in Police
I could see you in that.
I wanted
if
Police
you'd have told
Academy
me you were in that, I would have believed you.
You can just tell people you're in at this point, that. Apparently.
But
really,
you know,
interesting.
But so it's that kind of thing
of
that
course.
Goes on. And
well, everything happens for a reason. But
and the other thing, too, was, and I came from that generation of people that was like, "I'm going to get out of TV, and I'm going to do, and I will never have to do TV again. I'll just be in the movies." And that was the thing back in the day, you know. It's like Burt Reynolds, he got out of TV, and he became a big movie star, you know, and all those guys did, and the ladies did, too. And now it's not that way. And so I think that bit me in the ass a little bit. I turned down, you know, numerous TV shows, like MacGyver and you know, something like that.
Well, it's back around. So
it's back.
You can play MacGyver.
Were you
going to
be MacGyver?
Now?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
And but it was like, you know, I didn't want to go back into a TV series at the time. I just kept thinking, "Oh, maybe there'll be another movie again." So
weird how
crazy.
It is now.
Yeah.
Where TV
now you
is
do
like,
both.
You do both, yeah. But TV's like everybody's doing TV.
Speaking of Up the Creek, I have three shows that you were in, right? And I'm going to ask you which one of these would have been better off if it would have been a pornography.
Okay.
As you said, Up the Creek, Midnight Heat,
ooh,
or Mystery of the Chinese Junk.
Wait, is that real?
But he was in. And I would throw in Leave It to Beaver. We already mentioned it. So which one of those, honestly, in hindsight, would have just been better off as a porn?
Let me think.
What was that last one?
Mystery of the Chinese Junk.
Wow.
It was the Hardy Boys.
Oh, okay.
It was
gotcha.
The Hardy Boys.
And well, that even makes it better.
See, you know, yeah. It probably, yeah, it would probably be better.
Probably
hey,
costume
the
party.
Hardy
probably
Boys.
A theme party Matt's been to.
Yes. But I think that was it, yeah.
That's
thank
good
God
one.
It wasn't the Mystery of the Oriental Junk. You know?
Yeah, that would be a whole
yeah,
different
which
thing.
Which was a whole, you know, yeah.
Yeah.
Ethnic slur. In
tough
it.
To find still, though. Tough to find.
Nice. Find. I got to give him a point.
Yeah, I
got to
give him a point.
Come on.
That was it. That was very...
That's right out of the crock pot, too.
That was very, yeah. Very nice. All right. Well,
I think that brings us to... the final round?
Yeah.
Okay.
We each get 30 seconds to... try to convince you, even though you have your points, why maybe we should take it all in the end.
Now,
right?
Has Ari been counting?
He doesn't have a mic today. So
he doesn't have a mic today, so
he is
we've
here,
been
guys.
Keeping
he's
track.
Been keeping track.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
So we each get 30 seconds to pitch our case, why we should win.
Okay.
Theo, do you want to go first or me?
I'll go first, actually.
Okay.
All right, 30 seconds on the clock. And in honor of your new show, I'm going to do mine as Ronald Reagan.
Nice.
Okay. Well, Tim, you seem so nice, like a Canadian man. We're happy to have you here in the basement, and you've had a storied career, played murderers, been murdered, been countless celebrity people. You're a good man.
Wrap it up.
Even though you didn't vote for me. Good luck.
Wow.
Patriot.
Who invited Morgan Freeman?
That's right. I was going to say.
Was that a little Morgan Freeman at the end?
At the end?
Wow. The whole thing.
At the beginning, the middle, and the end.
Channeling other diversities to play Reagan?
That's good. It's, wow. It's not blackface, it's black voice.
Yeah, that's true.
Right?
It's a new thing.
Wow. My turn. So, Tim. Oh, God. I really
pandering, name dropping.
I honestly could listen to your stories all day long. They're great because I have a feeling I could name any like star or whatever. I'd just throw out and he's got a story about them. Don't you think so? But that's so I'd like to hang out with you some more and pick your brain a little more. But also you seem like a genuinely wonderful guy. And we
genuinely wonderful guy. He killed two famous comedians.
Maybe three.
Don't ask
maybe
Kevin Bacon.
And
don't
you
ask
could
Kevin
be
Bacon
next.
Either.
Maybe oh, three. But he also liaisoned a young woman to possibly be the Queen of England.
And
so.
That's true. Well, sometimes they come back. We'll see.
Yeah.
So, bringing it full around. So that was my pitch. Now, Tim, the power is in your hand.
Well, let me just say this: it's the worst Reagan, and I feel better that,
well,
that
my
that,
son.
That was
towards the end.
That wasn't even. I don't know who that guy was. I mean, if you had just said, "Here's the," and we didn't. So
four more years. Come on,
work on your Trump, I would say. Okay, and so that's gonna cost you.
Oh,
now, but and Matt was very genuine. Yeah. You know, he was just and he really was kind of like.
Have you ever met Bette Midler?
Oh my
see, look
God.
At it. Here it comes.
Screw Bette.
I don't
like Bette Midler.
She came up to the location where we were shooting Animal House.
She did back then?
I'll tell you why. Because Peter Rieger, who played Boone
in the movie,
said, "Hey, my girlfriend's coming up. My girlfriend's coming up to visit." And I said, "Well, good." You know, he said, "Bring her by when she comes up." And he said, "She's coming this weekend." And I said, "All right, well." So all of a sudden, and I opened my motel room door, and there's Bette Midler with Peter Rieger. And I thought, what the fuck is going on? And she's gorgeous. You know, then especially, she was like, you know, so petite.
Yeah.
She's about, you know, like 3.5 feet high.
Mm-hmm.
And just beautiful and great tits. And it was like, and Peter said, "Yeah, this is my girlfriend, Bette, and this is Tim." And it was like, you dog, you never told us this. So, yes, I have met Bette.
Okay.
But wow. So I'm going to give it to Matt. Yes. Sorry. I must say that you were the funniest host.
It's fine. I was adopted as well. I didn't say that about me.
You got the points on humor and spontaneity.
I was adopted.
Okay.
I was an orphan.
Okay, so it sort of balances things out.
All right.
It was a joy to be here with both you guys. And
thank you so
much
for
coming.
Come on,
stop it. You're both pretty.
All right.
Thank you, Tim. Sometimes will you come back?
There's a point.
Still getting points.
It's done.
It could be a comeback, though.
It could be
There's
a comeback.
A point.
There you go. Thank you so much for coming in. Everybody,
hey,
check out Killing Reagan on DVD. And
let me just say, it's
Jumanji.
The most fun. I could just listen to you guys forever.
Oh,
this is the
you.
Most fun I've had in a podcast.
Oh, thanks, Tim.
In forever, you know. And just thank you very much for
thank
having
you
me
so
here.
Much. Thank you so much, Tim. We'll get you back.
Great.